This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
And I'm Greg Hughes on the right.
And I'm Natalie Gochner in the middle. And this is Both Sides of the Aisle, a weekly debate over politics, policy, and current issues facing the state of Utah. This week, we'll cover the best and worst political moments in 2013, talk about the 2013 Utahn of the Year, and look forward to 2014. First, this news. I'm Natalie Gochner. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. This is a special year-end session where we're going to talk about some of the best and worst political stories in Utah this year. I'm joined on the left by Senator Jim DeBacchus. Welcome, Jim.
Good morning, Natalie.
And on the right by Greg Hughes. Welcome, Representative Hughes.
Thank you, Natalie.
We're going to start first with the worst. We're going to talk with some of the worst Utah political moments of the year. And we all kind of know that there's just one looming large, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that is
Talking about me.
No, we're talking about the unfortunate situation that happened in Utah's Attorney General's office. I'm going to put that right at the top of my list of the worst political moment, to have a sitting statewide elected official who, because of a lot of troubles, had to resign. Greg, who's on your list, and what do you want to put on the table?
I don't know how it couldn't be that moment. And to the public that listens to this show, the whole purpose of this show is to humanize public policy and politicians. And I've got to tell you that the people that I work with, both sides of the aisle, people do sacrifice their time for public service. And people love the sensationalism and everything else, but this is a sad time for Utah politics, and I think it deteriorates people's trust in our political process, and I hope it doesn't. I really do. The people that I know and the people that I work with, people sacrifice their time and want to do right by the citizens. And
yeah.
So it's a sad story. But please, as you watch that, don't assume, that that's just, the tip of the iceberg, or that's just what you can expect from all of that.
It's unfortunate when they generalize. Jim, was it at the top of your list, the John Swallow debacle?
Actually, no.
Yeah. What would it have been?
The top of as far as sensational things, of course that is, and the ramifications of other places, but what is going to happen January 1st with the governor dithering beyond words, depriving 123,000 Utahns of health care that Utah is already paying for out of some crazy ideological principle, is beyond the scope of reason, if you ask me. And I think it's a catastrophe on many, many levels. That's healthcare insurance for so many Utah families that we're not going to take. It's a terrible, terrible situation.
Greg, he makes a good point. I thought for a minute he was just going to isolate on Governor Herbert, but it was really the larger issue of Medicaid expansion. And that the Swallow case is a sensationalized case, but in terms of the human cost, maybe the Medicaid expansion deserves some more thinking here.
Here's my issue. To put it in perspective, the state of Utah changed an intersection in Draper City on 123rd. It's called the Michigan Turnaround. And everybody in the city I represent hates this turnaround, hates this intersection now.
Okay? Now that I'm thinking about it, I know which one it is.
You know which one
I've only
about?
Been there two or three times.
It doesn't
times,
make any sense to go through this intersection, do this U-turn, come through the other way, make a right-hand turn. It's a nightmare. The businesses, we've had businesses that are going out of – here's the thing. When people complain about that to the city immediately says – the state of Utah and UDOT put that intersection in. Place the blame where it is appropriate. What happened was you had a Supreme Court ruling that took part of Obamacare, and where it was looked to be foisted on the states to have to pay for, they didn't have to any longer. They said, we'll give you a couple years worth of Medicaid to pay for it, but there is no certainty on how that would be paid for long term. It is a problem that states are now supposed to somehow come up with the solution. The state did not create this problem. I would like members of Congress and this president to take the same kind of angst shared by Jim and solve this problem on their own, not look to the states and its finite resources, where Medicaid is already taking more and more of this budget away from public schools, away from other critical areas, and fix it where it belongs and where it should be fixed.
So
don't just do it. Don't just pass it down to us and say it's our fault.
Jim, I want you to feel free to respond, but we've got Medicaid expansion on the list, and we got the Attorney General swallow on the list, and I want to add Greg Bell's retirement as a really hard medicine political moment, because he's such a talented guy and did so many good things. I really like Spencer Cox, but Greg Bell's someone who I like in public service, so I'm adding him to my list.
Well, I've had some thoughts about whether we ought to pay the executives more money. After talking to my constituents, I can't find one constituent.
Is that right?
Nobody agrees with the proposition that we ought to pay our executives more money. And this ties into Greg Bell. In case you don't know, Greg quit because he said he couldn't live on $104,000
yeah.
a year.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, at least in my area, most Utahns think that they ought to be able to live on $104,000 a year. And if you can't, then you don't really know what it's like in real life. So it's an interesting idea.
Would you add anything more to the list? I mean, we got to have some more bad moments in the last year.
You know, I just want to echo the things I've just heard. I do think that the loss of Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell is a loss to the state. His leadership was felt greatly. He participated in many committees, many commissions, dialogued well with legislators because he had been a state senator. So we felt that one. I
got to think the government shutdown's on your list.
You know, thank you.
Yeah, I just got to think. I mean, you know, Republicans, I have that actually, Democrats
I actually have that on a different list on our year wrap here. There's a different part of that. There's a glass half full scenario.
Excellent.
There.
Okay.
But you know what? It was revealing to lawmakers when you shut down the government. One of the things is, and we'll talk about it in later segments, about, say, the state parks and how the impact to tourism and things like that. When we asked the fiscal analyst, what if it goes beyond 30 days? What do we do to help these state parks? And this fiscal analyst said, this goes beyond 30 days, you're going to have bigger problems in state parks.
Interesting.
And it really did hit home for many policymakers how dependent on federal funds we've become, which we ought to think about.
One of the other kind of not so good moments in Utah is the recollection that, or the realization that for a lot of legislators who I admire and respect and enjoy, during the shutdown, they set up all these commissions and committees to see what will happen when the federal government ends and we have to go to bomb shelters and we won't have any more federal government and how everything will move on after the destruction and the apocalypse. And a lot of legislators believe that. And I think that's not productive. I think going to the gold standard and making sure that every vendor in the state will take gold and having endless discussion about what are we going to do if the federal government completely collapses isn't productive. And it's senseless. We ought to concentrate on the real problems that we know that the state has.
I can speak with some economic expertise that it was very troubling to the Utah economy. Greg, last negative thing of this program, because we're going to get to more positive things.
Two tough things that happened this year while we're talking. The West Valley police situation.
Yeah,
that is one that, you know what, I don't care what your political persuasion is.
Where
you don't
you
like
live,
to see
yeah.
the things that have been going on there. They have had some problems there, and I know that the new mayor, newly elected mayor, Mayor Bigelow, is going to do a good job over there, but didn't like to see the stories coming out of West Valley City and their police. And then this character that pushed over the goblin stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I can't live with these environmentalists as it is. There's no living with our environmentalists now because this YouTube video makes us all mad. We're all mad and want to protect all of this stuff more than we're already doing it because jokers like this are pushing these things over. Now I'm joining them because I'm so ticked off. I don't want to join them. They usually just rant about stuff that's unnecessary.
It even hurts the Boy Scouts movement, for crying out loud.
This guy plays into their hands. Jeez.
I'm Natalie Gochner. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm joined on the left by Senator Jim DeBacchus and on the right by Representative Greg Hughes. In our next segment, we will talk about the 2013 Salt Lake Tribune Utahn of the Year. Stay listening. Thank you. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm joined on the left by Senator Jim DeBacchus. Welcome, Jim.
Good morning.
And Greg Hughes. Welcome, Greg.
Good morning, Natalie.
We're going to be a little brighter in this segment, and we're going to talk about the best Utah moment, political moment, anything of the year. I'm going to pick a political one, and I'm going to put out on the table, I was so happy to see two foundational, stalwart women of this community, Gail Miller and Norma Matheson, sign on to chair the Count My Vote initiative. I think it's just fabulous. My two colleagues on this show don't like Count My Vote, but Gail and Norma are with me. That's my best Utah political moment of the year.
Well, that's certainly
can you guys match that?
Full.
Can you guys match that?
Whiz.
It looks like Greg's ready to pop a couple out.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Gail, and I've never had a bad thought about Gail ever. She's a sweetheart. We've always enjoyed seeing her at jazz games, everything else. Do you think that there'll be any blowback at the theaters that she set up all these tables at? And well, does that even matter?
I mean,
was that in the calculation?
I was on the visit when she was invited to join us as a chair, and she thought really hard. She asked all the right questions, and in the end, Greg, it's Larry Miller's legacy that motivated her.
Wow,
he cared about these kinds of things. So the answer to your theater question is she's doing this on principle. Okay, put some out on the table, Greg.
Okay, my top moment, very proud moment for the state of Utah, is when the federal government could not agree and could not get anything done and shut down, and Utah's economy was the victim. The state of Utah stepped up and literally loaned the money to the federal government.
Go figure.
And sent the payment over, certified funds to the Beltway, and we opened up those parks for those tourists, for the people that wanted to be there, that came from around the world to be there, restoring an economy to those who depend on it in the state of Utah.
Yeah, love it.
It shows a bunch of things. It also shows that the state of Utah can run its resources. It can do the job enabled to
I
do
landed
it.
At the Salt Lake International Airport, and I'm driving away, driving home, and on the big highway signs was this thing, our national parks are open. I thought it was a masterstroke. Jim, we just gave kudos to Governor Herbert.
You know, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to go on with my positive.
Put out your positive thing, because we want to stay upbeat.
You don't even know Utah exists past 21st South.
Arne Duncan,
Secretary of Education,
popped into Salt Lake to the Northwest Middle School. 87% of the student body is of color. 90% receive free lunch. 60% of the kids are non-English speakers. And yet those kids, they've gone from 37% in math to 79% proficiency in science, 4 out of 10 to 6 out of 10 in science proficiency. Their English scores were even better. 90% of the students have satisfactory attendance. Arne Duncan came to Utah to see why, and he met the same principal, Brian Connerly, that I met. It's a remarkable thing that's going on in that and in a couple of other schools. The primary reason why this works, besides an incredibly motivated staff, is millions of dollars of extra money. So, yes, we threw money at it, and you know what, Greg? It worked. The results are astonishing. You can get bumps on your arm.
I love it. Tell me the name of the school again, Jim.
It's called Northwest.
Northwest. I love it.
Phenomenal.
Those are two positive things. There's something else positive. If we get to talk about, there can be a negative side of it, but the 2013 candidates for Utah of the Year, Salt Lake Tribune's put out a list. You can vote. But there's also people that we might add to the list. Some of the people on the list, and these are just newsmakers. The criteria is, newsmakers. It can be for better or for worse. John Swallow's on the list. Sim Gill's on the list. Jeremy Johnson's on the list. Becky Lockhart's on the list. Mike Lee is on the list. A colleague of mine at the University of Utah, Pam Perlick's on the list. And I love a personal favorite, Robert Redford, 77 years old. This would be a neat time to honor him. Jim, who are your picks?
So we'll go through them real quick and then talk about them. My list is John Swallow, the Huntsman Cancer Center, with their $100 million new addition for pediatric cancer. Dieter Ruckdorf is on my list.
Wow.
Prosecutor Sim Gill and Troy Rawlings are on my list. Geraldine Dreyfus. SUA, after 30 years of great work in saving those national parks that Greg was talking about. Those are some of people on my list.
Hey, I like it. And I really like your Dieter Uchtdorf edition. Love that.
That is a great one. You got one out of the rest, right? That's pretty good. Let me give you a name no one's been talking about, but I think ought to be added to the list. James Evans. He's elected chairman of the Utah GOP, becoming the first African-American party chairman in this state's history. I think it's a great step forward. I think with that mantle of responsibility, James has done a great job. He has handled some very, very tough issues, even including our attorney general, I think in a very even-handed way. He's brought transparency to the party process. He is going to he's also worked very hard to allow for absentee ballots and caucus meetings, Natalie, which you should love.
No, I got a better one. I got a better one because it's a bigger deal. And I have a little bit of grudge about the Salt Lake Tribune on this. Why isn't Governor Herbert on that list? And let me tell you why. Jim doesn't like
Jim,
this.
You got to stay in your chair, sir.
No,
but you,
swallows
one time
on
you
the
told
list.
Me I don't stand up for my opinion well enough, and I just want to tell you, he got us through this great recession. He did the national park thing. He's had no major missteps in office. He's doing things for clean air. I can outline them. He vetoed the concealed weapons permit deal. He got the right decision on the Snake Valley water. I think that's a pretty good record and worthy of being considered at Utah in the year. Now, I know how Jim thinks, Greg.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
And I mean, he should be on the list. And if the Goblin guy's on the list.
Yeah, I know. And beyond that,
should be
let
on
me
it.
Tell you something.
I agree with that.
Okay, all right.
Natalie, listen.
The Goblin guy's on the list.
If the Goblin guy is on the list, our good governor should be on that list. Now, listen.
Well, the Speaker of the House is, why not the governor, too?
And what you didn't include in that, and is also worthy, is that that whole idea that we could even send money to the government to open up the state parks was because of his relationship with the Interior Secretary.
Sally Jewell. Yeah.
And I'm telling you that when Arizona asked to do that, same scenario with the Grand Canyon, there was a big old no sent back.
Well, I mean, I get why you don't do it in an election year because, you just can't do that. But it's not an election year, and he has served ably.
He's done a good job. He's certainly
worthy
of it.
I'm putting on my little protective bulletproof vest.
You got people, for good reasons and bad reasons. You at least should agree that our good governor ought to be on that list.
Well, if Swallow's on the list, the governor ought to be on it.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm on the common sense middle, Natalie Gochner. And on the left,
Jim DeBacchus.
And on the right,
common sense right, Greg Hughes.
You got it. Well, what else do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about 2014 and some of your wishes and hopes, expectations? I can put one on the table. I'm sounding like a broken record. I'd love to see this state adopt a direct primary in 2014, and I'll look down so Greg doesn't look at me some more. What are you guys looking for in 2014?
I hope that the state, the governor, another reason why the governor ought not to be named the Utah of the Year, he took in his proposed budget $90 million out of primary education. Money that goes to education, he took it out and is spending it on other things. It's unthinkable that he could actually do that given the state of our education system. Locked the way we are in 51st in the country in spending. It's irresponsible, and it is cheating future generations. It is, it's a terrible, terrible thing.
Greg, have you got some hopes, predictions, something you want to share about 2014?
I do. You baited me, Natalie. I have to say, I hope that we see record attendance in caucuses on caucus nights in both respective parties. I hope we see wild and mass attendance at conventions. And I hope that we preserve a process for the little guy, for the people that can look candidates in the eye, shake their hand, ask them questions directly, and not give all these well-heeled people with commercials and mailers all the tactical advantage. I hope we keep that system in this coming year.
I have a feeling we'll be talking about this some more, but I got to tell you, Greg, I mean, I helped, and I really cared about the caucus last time, right? I wanted to be there, and I helped train over 100 business leaders to go to their caucus meetings, be involved, and then my daughter calls me. She's getting married. And she picks as her date caucus night. I couldn't go, and that's what swung me over the edge because I cared and I wanted to be involved, and I had no choice.
But James Evans' opportunity to sign a ballot and send it in so you could be there, that didn't
But the
take
more
care
I've
of
learned,
it.
The more I just want to go behind a little curtain for all the thing and let my opinion be heard.
Now, there's some well-heeled candidates that agree with you.
You know, as the guy in the reasonable middle, I see both of your points.
We're getting to the middle here. I got another thing I'd like to see in 2014 just to throw out. A lot of news in the last year about transparency, openness, some changes in the LDS Church, some good things happening. The change in the missionary age, you know, so on and so forth. I'd love to see the LDS Church embrace service missions more, or that these missionaries that are sent out in the world, that they divide their time a little bit more between proselyting and service missions. That's a non-political thing, but we have this amazing sales force for our state out there. They're all over the world. Jim's wondering if it's an amazing sales force.
No. Look, I think it's an astonishing thing, but I don't know if it's a sales force for the state of Utah exactly.
If you go to all the foreign countries all around the world and they learn about where these people either are from or where their religion is headquartered.
It's a gripe of mine, though, that missionaries don't. Okay. That missionaries come home and they go to Sandy or to Midvale to work. You know, you speak Japanese. You understand the culture. You know Indonesia. Go back there, you know, make the influence. Become the Bill Gates of Paraguay, for goodness sakes. I wish that the U and our business schools would take that experience and help
have
our...
Have more of it.
Yeah, take that cultural experience that so many missionaries have and turn it into to money.
I've been doing more and more thinking about globalization in the Utah economy. And, you know, I think we have 7,700 foreign students in our state. We have 20,000 Utahns in dual immersion programs learning.
How many?
20,000. Phenomenal. So I like the idea of becoming more and more international, and I think we got a great when I say we, it's just our community. It doesn't mean you have to be a member of the faith. I'm just saying that there's people out there that represent Utah, like it or not. Other predictions, other concerns.
2014, we'll see strong majorities in both the House and Senate in our state legislature. We will see...
You're saying the Republicans will.
Absolutely.
Just that to be clear.
Yes. We'll see that that Mia Love will become a congresswoman in November of 14. There's a lot of exciting things coming. And I'll tell you, it'll be nice to see some... I think Mia Love, I hope that when we see a change in that congressional seat, that we also... see in the election nationwide some people that want to get some things done, articulate the positions in ways that do not alienate people. But again, in politics, it's all addition. Start pulling people together. I think Mia Love can do that.
Do you think Speaker Lockhart, who has said she will not run again, do you think that she'll be clear about her intent to be run for governor at the end of this year, or do you think she'll wait on that?
I would think she would wait. There's so many different options. If you told me just a couple weeks ago that the Matheson would have retired,
open up.
That my colleague Derek Brown, Representative Brown, would leave
resign,
the legislature to go work for Senator Lee. These are things I would never have seen coming.
Or that UTA would swipe Todd Weiler's car,
a bus. Oh, my goodness,
bus.
Can you believe that? Yeah, yeah. You know, I've looked at the man's car. There's not a scratch on it. I think the fix is in here. That's all I'm going to say.
Jim, any last comments on that?
Well, Weiler is a lawyer. So I think Senator Weiler, that speaks for itself, I'd say.
We've got just a few last minutes for our gripe of the year. Jim, you're up first.
The root of all evil is money, and the swallow thing is only a part of the biggest change we need to make. You judge this next legislative session by one thing. Did they actually learn any lessons? Do they make any ethical changes? Do they limit campaign finance? Or can the governor and legislators continue to take unlimited amounts of money from unlimited people? That's what to keep an eye out for.
Greg. Big gripe here.
Okay, this gripe's a little bit different. Big article came out. Listen, big article came out about missionaries that come home early and the social stigma attached, and how we have to be nurturing and welcoming, and you know, to these missionaries who returned missionaries who may feel ostracized. We got to quit coddling people here. Okay, there's a 1.5% return rate. My only argument is, don't, if you make it socially acceptable and you make it so it's not, there's just, it's just fine and it's great. Let me tell you something. Everybody will go like 3 months and then say, well, as long as this is considered going on a mission, I'm out of here. Okay, you're going to have everybody wanting to come home early. It's a tough deal. Just look, if it's a health issue, set up missions in hospitals and let them be sick in the same place they can be of service to others. My goodness. We are just being, everything has to be done in such a sensitive way. And we have to, oh, look at these poor people. Come on, toughen up.
Toughen up. Well, my gripe, it kind of deals with this program, you guys. I'm tired of extremism. I'm tired of people on the left and right throwing bombs at each other. I don't even like the title of this program, Both Sides of the Aisle. I mean, it's not even acknowledging me. I'm just irrelevant. And if you haven't noticed, I have to carry the biggest part of the load, meaning I have to, like, end us on time, start us, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Jim, what's she saying? I don't understand.
Cut the show.
I
cut
know.
That out.
Become a moderate.
Change this. Hit the mute button.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year to everybody. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle.